Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Guaranteed Rate Field will not be the home to Manny Machado this year.
I'm staggered by it.
For a second, I thought I was dead.
Rick Hahn, he will try to explain what happened with the failed pursuit of Manny Machado, and here's Rick Hahn on the Score.
This will come as no great shock, but at, 2 in the morning when I couldn't sleep and I was messing around on my phone, and I started to have a little cynicism seek in terms of our chances. And this morning when I was out for my run, that cynicism grew a little bit. And that cynicism proved to be
the Southpaw pal Dan Plesac is with us on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Good afternoon, Sack. What's going on, bud?
Probably as stunned as everybody in the city of Chicago.
John in Woodridge, thanks for calling. You're on the Score.
I'm doing pretty lousy. Thank you.
Oh,
no. What happened?
I'm thinking about changing my fandom to the Cubs. This is just another disappointment in the 43 years of being a White Sox fan.
He's in the desert. He was there when Rick Hahn was meeting the media. He is our guy. He is Bruce Levine. What's up, Bruce?
I think the White Sox officials gave it their best shot. Wasn't good enough.
I'm doing my best, Frank.
Why do you think we're in the haberdashery business?
Ted, you're on the Score.
Yep, I'm a White Sox fan in Texas. Guys, I was at my psychiatrist when this went down, so he took care of me. Here's what I want to say, though.
How did your psychiatrist counsel you today as a Sox fan?
No, he just gave me medication.
That'll fix it.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
That caller yesterday who went to his psychiatrist was Billy Karstigan, wasn't he? Leo DiCaprio's character?
Two pills?
Yeah, two pills. Jeez. You exemplify drug-seeking behavior, but I'll write you anyway because you're as hot as Matt Damon and I'll sleep with both of you. I'm the staff psychologist.
What is he saying? What did she say? Why is the last appointment of the day always the most difficult?
Yeah, and he gives her the correct answer. You're done with hearing everyone else's issues by the end of the day.
You're tired.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have a big pile of your own.
absolutely. God. Good to have Spiegel in. And,
it was.
Yeah.
He brought back some of the raw emotion regarding yesterday's news, though, with his analytic and intellect to assess what happened with the White Sox yesterday. For me, it was a very fast heel, made humorous by some of the nonsense that accompanies upset White Sox fans. Typically, not all of them, but a certain percentage of them who have a long and not so glorious history of finding things to get really mad about and threaten their lack of participation, their lack of attendance. Guys switching allegiances to the north side or wherever else they want to go, and you're upset with a long history, long stretch now. You've had one playoff appearance only since they won the World Series in 05. I understand. I don't go to the ballpark a ton when they suck. I only bought tickets to 5 or 6 games last year. If you don't want to go at all, I would understand that. But when you start talking about burning your apparel or switching to the north side, it's like, come on, man. That's the kind of stuff we do when we're teenagers, not when we're grown-ass men.
Yeah, when you say a quick heel, I mean, I don't think it wounded you at all. You're not invested like that.
I wanted him. I absolutely wanted him here.
Well, Rick Hahn's going to be on at 6:05 with Lawrence, and I'm sure it'll be great. I hope it's illuminating. I hope that people come out of it feeling like the Sox did everything they can to get Manny Machado, because that's the part to me that where we sit now is open to criticism. Offering $250 million is a huge step for your franchise. That is a huge contract offer. That is playing in an end of the pool that you had never played in before, and that, frankly, a lot of us were skeptical you'd ever be able to play.
More than three times the highest contract they've ever paid.
Correct. So in that sense, great. But if you're saying that their offer in some ways was better, and then it turns out that the only way that your offer was better was in hypothetical money and average annual value, but you were $50 million short and you were against opt-outs, well then, what are you talking about? And then when Bruce Levine comes out and reports that the White Sox organization is philosophically against opt-outs, and then they tell every media member who will ask them that that's not true, well, if you're not fundamentally against opt-outs and you didn't give one to Manny Machado, then what scenario exists where you would give one? Because he's a 26-year-old superstar who you made a $250 million investment. Are you saying the only guy who could get an opt-out is Mike Trout? Like, you got to square that with people, in my opinion, of, oh, no, we did offer an opt-out.
Yeah.
I think that there's an explanation to be owed here for just how far or close you were to getting him.
I'll be listening with
as
interest to Lawrence and Rick on my early commute home, and Lawrence will do a great job. I have all the confidence in the world in that. The two questions that the answers I need most are the opt-outs. Was that available to Machado? Did you offer that to him? And did you have any chance to come in off the ropes and counter the Padres?
Do you have a chance to match?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think that works practically, though? Because in theory, the agent could just say, we got a $300 million offer. They don't show you a piece of paper. So then you've got to believe the agent, and then that you'd be worried about negotiating against yourself.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you don't want to do that. So I know you talk proudly about how that's happened in the pen. That's a great way for leverage, but it's the type of thing where you have your sources around the game. You try to read the market. That's part of being a GM, right? Part of being a GM is making a true, honest evaluation of what you think a player is really worth. And I think there's a chance that Machado's agent said to the White Sox, we've got a $300 million offer. And they said, we don't believe you. I mean, Kenny Williams, when he was talking to that golf cart, he said, we really believed that we had the highest offer.
The picture of Kenny in the golf cart today in the old-fashioned hard copy edition of the Tribune, 1,000 words, is that what they say? Every picture tells 1,000 words?
Yeah,
that,
it's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, that is just encapsulated, kind of head down. It's not a silhouette, but it might as well be.
Just
sad. He's looking. I wish he weren't looking at his phone. I wish they could have photoshopped that and just have him looking down. He is holding his phone in his lap, but he's all alone and he's sad, and he's a White Sox employee who has produced one championship and is given a long, long leash. That seems to be inherent to Mr. Reinsdorf.
Yes, it does.
Loyalty to a fault.
Oh, and you know what? I honestly think that the accumulation of assets that the White Sox have done in this version of the rebuild, their first real rebuild, because they'd always tried to do it with kind of
right. Rick will not be saying tonight this is only our third rebuild.
No, not at all. They had real assets in Quintana and Sale, and they traded them and Eaton, and they got back real prospects, and they got a top three or four farm system in baseball, and they got no money committed for the future, and they took a big swing at a guy and they missed. If they didn't really go all in on this guy and then they still claim that their offer was better than the Padres, I think that they'll be disappointed next year.
Yeah.
If they go after Nolan Arenado, and then the next year if they go after Mike Trout, unless you're willing to truly meet those players' demands, some team always seems to be willing to do it.
Arenado is very interesting to me. I would love to see him on the South side. I think he's not only a thumper, he is a tremendous defensive third baseman. He is entertaining to watch. As a third baseman, you don't say that all too often. But
he turns 28 in April.
Yeah.
So turns 28 in the first month of the season. So that'll be 29 next year. And so it's 3 years full older than Manny Machado. That's why Machado was so special. It was the 35 homers and the age at which you were getting.
Right. Right. A texter or two have come in along the course of today's show. One just arrived recently regarding the switch of allegiance. He says, like when you left the Cubs for the Sox. You're right. I was 13 in the spring of 75 when Billy Williams.
They'll hold
was,
it against you forever.
I was 13. I'm just starting to recognize the difference between the girls and the boys. So I still got really aggravated about the had that, you know, heart ripped out of your chest thing in 69. And then they trade my favorite player to the Athletics. And I was already sort of coming, gravitating to the South Side. I liked Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall. Went to more Sox games. It was 20 miles from home. We rode our bikes to a Sox game when I was a junior in high school. It was that's how close we were to it. It's a long bike ride, but yeah, it was more comfortable for me to be. I love the trashy image of the American League in the early 70s.
Yeah, the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, it was, well, even before that, those A's teams too, man. They hated each other. The mustaches, the defiance, the in-your-face. This is dirty. This is more blue-collar American League stuff. It worked for me, and it still does.
A texter says, I'm a White Sox fan, and I could not be happier that Machado went to San Diego. What's interesting to me about that is, then you fundamentally disagree with your organization. Because Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams wanted him badly.
That's a blanket statement. Maybe, yes, they did, but maybe he disagrees with Machado on being a guy worth spending that kind of money on. He fears bag factor potentially.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's what this particular texter is upset about, but I understand that emotion. If I'm going to spend $300 million, I want the guy to have more character than a guy who says I'm not ever going to be Johnny Hustle or steps on shoes. And who knows what $300 million banked, he's not going to get all of that, but that kind of income is going to do to a guy at a very tender age. Most of us I was horribly immature at 26. Throw $300 million in my lap? Are you kidding? It'd be real easy to go sour. To not have that best foot forward approach. There have been guys who have been paid enormous amounts of money and their production just dropped off the charts. Not saying he's going to be one of them, but the potential does exist. So maybe that's why this guy's saying that.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. We'll take more suggestions for my overnight shift with the Grobber. Oh, huge Hawks
tonight,
game.
Tonight, isn't it?
It's coming up. Huge Hawks game as well. And we'll also talk to Lawrence ahead of his
I'm actually right in the prime of being a millennium.
That's why you have issues with what you're talking about.
Add that to the list. The millennial concept. It's a great thing to talk about tonight with Les Grobstein. So far, I have George Brett and the Torts Panarin audio, the millennial concept. If he wants a rematch with Shep in trivia.
That would not be in his best interest.
Danielle Manning, Brian Urlacher, and marijuana. That's on the list of suggestions.
Very, very good.
Far.
Yeah, Parkin's doing the overnight, doing the cruise with Grobber overnight. You know, might I just say this too? Are our engineers still on the other side, or have they gone home for the day? Are they still?
Oh,
with
I don't
us?
Think they're allowed to go.
Yeah. Not going home for a while. Yeah. I don't think. Yeah, they're not in this room.
I don't think they've taken lunch yet.
It would have been a brilliant idea to do the crossover overnight, wouldn't it?
I mean,
it's whomever it is who is saddled with the board, which is where the rubber meets the road. That's Chris Tannehill's job, and he's exceptional at it. That's the biggest change. It's probably not a great idea to do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Probably best to do that right around the time they're lining up calls for, and for that you suck.
Well, devil's advocate here. In fairness to the great staff here that have been working very hard to make sure we're up and running, this launched at 10, and a couple of ghosts in the machine
hiccups.
Yeah, pushed it back to 11, and it's an ongoing process, and it's fine. They've been good about fixing things, and no one promises to be a smooth ride.
I kind of debate if it's right to do it overnight, because. Like, yes, this has been a painful inconvenience, but is there someone you'd rather have on the board a day like today than Chris Tannehill?
No, he can engineer for less if he wants to when they do the next switch.
He didn't play Who Do You Love this year, so he doesn't have to come in.
Give me Friday off, and I'll stay tonight.
I have not seen Tannehill a fraction as stressed as he has been today, as with everybody buzzing around in that room.
There's just too many people. Yeah, he's the audio overlord. There's people literally lording over him. The whole show.
I'm sorry if I appear stressed and I project that onto you guys. I try to keep like the level head.
You're doing great.
To show that I'm not fazed by anything, even when someone's in my lap. But they are helping. So
I'm sure they're helping. There's just a lot of them.
Yeah, I know. Right? There's five or six guys in there at a time. Hey, come on. The boy aquarium doesn't have room for that many fellas sucking up oxygen.
I think we've recovered nicely since our 128 departure.
Well, you're not using the new system, right?
Yeah, we're back on the old. We're back on the new system.
Yeah,
all right.
That's right, folks. Yeah, and to prove we're on the new system now.
Give it a rip.
We're watching Babe Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
So that's one that I had not had on my 360 machine. So that's digital right there.
It's never sounded better.
I'm just checking your math on that. Yes, I got the same thing.
All right, we're up and running.
Yep, George Brett is in the system because that was
that
in
one
the
just
news.
Like this.
Perfect.
Managing millennials for dummy.
Oh God, we're in good shape.
So let's make sure that this has come up a few times. Make sure that everything gets, if you don't transfer it into the system, you transfer it to your own personal files, because all the stuff that gets lost over the years is just, it's heartbreaking.
That
really.
Thought crossed my mind. Actually, Lawrence and I talked about it, and I spread the knowledge of you saying, save your gold. And I thought about that moment of stuff that I don't have, stuff that predates me that was in the audio vault system. Like, there's going to be some things that get lost in the transfer. I just no way around it. So far, everything that I've searched for that I wanted has been in there from the old system. It's integrated over, and that's good, but there's bound to be some stuff that's going to go missing.
Yeah, you're going to lose a few things.
Yeah, you're going to lose some stuff. How excited are you, scale 1 to 10, for the Hawks game tonight?
This is the biggest game of the year until they play again. It's the Red Wings, and for the first time since the Red Wings have moved to the East, it feels like it's a big game. I was thinking today how much, this is going to be easy pickings. Look at the Red Wings' trouble they've had in goal this year. Jimmy Howard, along with Bernier, still the principal goaltender for the Red Wings after all these years. They've allowed more goals than almost every team in the Eastern Conference, but look in the mirror, Hawks fan. The Blackhawks have allowed 223 goals this year. That's the most in the NHL. So you got to defend tonight. They cannot afford another night of giving up 40-plus shots on goal. You just can't do that. You got to hustle back and forecheck. I have no doubt this team is going to score enough the rest of the way. Offensively, they're very well set. And the way Gustafsson has grown as a power play captain, as a defenseman, I'm not ready to give him some of the accolades some Hawks fans who go way back have done, like a buddy of mine who watches him all the time, and he texted me from Florida last week, hey, doesn't Gusty remind you a little of Doug Wilson? No, as a matter of fact, he doesn't. They both, Doug shot left-handed like Gusty. That's where the comparisons end. Don't go there yet. But they got to defend, and if they get in, who knows what happens. We go, that's the least, predictable thing in sports. Which team of the eight that make each conference postseason wind up representing? Because it's not the way it's expected to go, and that's what makes hockey unique. Some don't like it. Some say they'd rather have Vincent Goodwill yesterday talking with Bernstein and McKnight about his NBA. I like knowing my NBA. I like knowing which two teams are supposed to be meeting in the conference finals.
Yep.
I understand that, but I also like the random nature. It's just a game of inches more than others, and so much of it is coincidence, happenstance, and luck.
Well, I think that part of that is just that each sport is different, and I wouldn't want all of them to be the same. Like,
right.
I like that the NBA probably crowns the truest champion in sports, but college basketball has... Same sport, basketball.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to imagine that it's the same sport, given how bad college is and how high the skill level is in the NBA.
Right.
But, I mean, college, single elimination.
Yeah.
Total randomness. Hockey, the sport lends itself to goalie gets hot. Stands on his head.
Yes.
And love that one. And you just all of a sudden can have an 8 seed go out and win it.
Right. Kings did it in 14, 5 years ago.
Baseball, the least representative. Because it's 162 games that goes down to a best of one wild card game or a best of five division series. So it's the least representative by far from regular season to postseason. And so, yeah, I like that all the sports are different. For the Hawks, I was surprised when I looked at hockeyreference.com today that they are only 15.8% to even make the playoffs still. It's because of the number of teams that are right there and the games in hand on the schedule.
Say it, Canadian.
Games? I don't know how to do
games. Just gravelly.
Games in hand.
Games in hand. Games you did it with standing hand, on head when he stood on head.
He stood on head. I didn't
he
know
does
I doing...
these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
That's in.
You think a Canadian was here? I don't even know. I was just trying to be hockey guy. But yeah, so I was surprised to see that it wasn't a little higher given how well they've been playing, but it also feels like they've been bum slaying. Like, it feels like the teams they've played are just bad.
Other than the win against the Capitals on Championship Sunday, the defending cup champs, that is largely true. Now, they kicked the crap out of the best player in hockey in his building. Connor McDavid did not even have a shot on net when the Hawks were amidst that 8-game streak. Was it 8 or 7? I think they got to 8.
They got to
7 or 8.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
They got to 8, then they lost the 9.
Yeah.
Then they'd won 8 of... Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, Edmonton was ripe to be plucked. And we got to move now before that number goes up even more. A texter just got to us and saying the total tonight's Hawks and Red Wings, 7. I don't think I've seen an NHL total higher than 6.5 before, ever.
The Ottawa one got to 7 that I was just at
oh,
the game.
Did it?
It went to 7, even money.
Really?
Right before game time. It was at 7. Yeah.
Let's jump on that now before the wagers hear us and drive the price up to 7.5 goals. Let's take it at 7. Let's, what do you think, 500? No, how about $1? Put okay. a hundo on it.
All right.
$2.
Whatever you guys want.
Or just $1.
Yeah, this will be the night they play defense.
Yeah, right. They maybe overcompensate after that 8-7 game, the pond hockey, as you called it.
8-7. Boy, that was just passes to the boards. I actually saw guys, nobody in sight. All right, I'll just throw it over to the boards. Like when Howard was learning how to play Frisbee in Detroit.
Yes.
When he was out with the wackos, as he said.
Yes.
That's good. It's good. When you throw it to somebody, make sure they're looking. It's always good to have someone to pass something to, whether it's a Frisbee or a hockey puck. It helps when there is a recipient on the other end of that pass.
Yeah.
Not the boards. You're throwing it to the boards. That cracks me up.
It was
Homewood Flossmoor all over again. That game you went to?
It was bizarre.
It was the HF Ice Arena.
I didn't really know how to do the analysis on it. I'm no X's and O's hockey expert anyway, but it just seemed really sloppy and really easy for everyone on offense. Just like everything was going in, whether it was beautiful offense or sloppy play.
Yeah.
Everything was going in.
That's pond hockey.
Yeah.
That's getting together with
they're playing
10 other guys,
goals.
11 other guys. Yes, and you have like, you know, backpacks are the goals. That's
right.
That's what pond hockey looks like.
Yeah, it was. I had never experienced hockey in that environment. And I got to be honest, I know I got painted as the guy in football who only loves offense. It's like, I just like high-level football, but... Sure, I will like scoring. That was really exciting hockey. I don't know if it was good hockey, but it was. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was bad hockey. But it was really, really exciting.
Were you annoyed by having to stand up so many times with such short breaks to hear Chelsea Dagger?
It became comical. It was like because I was with. You know, I was maybe the biggest hockey fan of the four.
Oh, boy.
Which is how you know it's a very casual group. And I was like, I was trying to be like, this doesn't happen. We're Googling in the intermission.
Can they change on the fly like that?
Yeah. We're Googling like most goals in a game. Like we were wondering if we were going to see a record. And
apparently no one hip to 1980s hockey whatsoever.
Yeah. And
I can't see from here, Mac.
And at one point, yeah, we're on the air is the answer. But you know, at one point, we're Googling most goals ever in an NHL hockey game. And so I was like,
what was your answer?
It was for one team, it was 16.
Oh, boy.
And for the game.
How you going to do that hockey?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, too. 12-9.
That's the Hawks score against Edmonton in 85?
Yep.
I was at that game.
Okay, so
yeah,
you
I took my college sweetie, Valerie, to the game.
Nice.
Swirsky set me up with tickets. He shoots and scores, he said as he handed me tickets for the Cup champions. Yes, Gretzky, Krusielniski, Mark Messier's in town. Danny, you got good seats.
Wow.
I got a puck that night, too.
Very.
I did
that's
not
a big game.
Get anything else that rhymes.
Salsa.
Salsa. Salsa. Yeah.
Salsa.
Yeah.
Salsa.
Went down swinging.
Sweetie, yeah. She lived in the western suburbs. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Liked her very much. Still do. Good girl.
That's good. But yeah, I thought I would maybe have one up on you in terms of, I didn't know how rare it was in terms of hockey experiences, but you've seen the most goals ever in NHL history.
And it was laughable. And that's why it's another reason, and I know the era has changed tremendously because 40 goals then were commonplace in the 80s and into the 90s for a little while. But the idea of getting in with suspect goaltending, you'd rather avoid that if you can. But look at Grant Fuhr's career numbers. They won 4 straight cups with that guy. They got away with it because they filled the net like nobody else. I know the Hawks aren't those Oilers, but you can outscore teams. You can surprise people when you can fill it up like they can. Yeah, I'm looking forward to puck drop tonight. Mike Tirico will have the descriptions for you.
Texter asks a very important question, Tanny. I apologize to put you on the spot, but this is top of mind. Did the Tiger Woods drop with the fart make the change to the new system?
Good question.
Yeah, don't lose that.
Let's see how fast I can find it. In 1 second, folks.
Okay, here we go. Let's see how we do here.
Mac and Parkins wait.
We are testing. Let's see how we did.
I always.
That's your shorty. That's your standard short fart for all you good fart enthusiasts.
Couldn't tell if that was Viking horn related, Tiger related.
Oh, that was a
George
one.
Brett's related.
Water.
It's very confusing. My God. Okay.
I often wondered how that story ended. They were in the middle of a story.
The George Brett one?
No, the Tiger waits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the broadcasters said, this... Somebody says, what? It's interesting to note, and then there's the fart and the swing.
Yeah, what was so interesting?
It's like Bender's joke in Breakfast Club, when he's above the ceiling tiles.
Yeah.
In high school after he'd been kicked to the closet. And he starts telling the joke. Naked blonde walks in a bar. She's got a 2-foot salami under one arm and a poodle in the other. Bartender says, I guess you won't be needing a drink. Lady says, and then he crashes. Then you have the ruckus. Can you describe the ruckus? What was the punchline, Bender? I want to know.
It's a good Tiger waits. It's interesting that.
It's interesting that he's wearing white slacks today.
So, Danny, are we happy with that progress? That speed? What are we thinking?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Eventually it'll be on my. I have this thing, a panel called Hotkeys.
Okay.
And that's, where we have some of the sounds I was playing earlier.
I'm just checking your math on that. Yes. I got the same thing.
So I have my hotkeys where things that we have for the show I can put on one panel so I don't have to actively search for it. So the Tiger fart maybe would be something I'd consider adding to my hotkeys.
Okay.
Because I think I can have up to 100 hotkeys. So
ooh.
I think that's definitely in my top 100 if I can
Is that enough for you?
That. Yeah, I don't think so, to be honest with you.
We'll figure it out. It's a work in progress.
I'm just checking your math on
Babe
that.
Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
I don't like it.
Are we sure it was Tiger who farted? Do we know?
It's a good question. I mean, it's been labeled Tiger farts for as long as I've been here.
I want to believe it's true. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale at nusports.com. Lawrence Holmes came in from his vacation because he gets to talk to Rick Hahn in 25 minutes. He talks to us first with Transition coming up on The Score.
Hear the people talk.
All right, here we go. Transition with Lawrence Holmes, who's got Rick Hahn in 20 minutes and is a White Sox season ticket holder. How's it going, Lawrence?
Hello, men.
How are you?
What have you guys been up to?
Oh, just listening to everybody bitch for the last 10 hours of broadcast time, primarily.
We're a pregame show to your big interview, man.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thanks for letting people know that they can catch it coming up at 6 o'clock.
Of course. What is your feeling on how the White Sox did in their pursuit of Manny Machado?
I personally think if you want the guy, then you get the guy. That if you're willing to go that far, then why aren't you willing to go the next step? If that's who you've targeted, and it seems like that's clearly who they've targeted.
Oh, yeah.
More so than Harper, that they targeted Machado. So why not go that extra mile to get him on your team.
Why not? I strongly suspect, I don't know this to be true, but my suspicion is they have an 83-year-old owner who can't get his head around particular price.
System's fine.
Jerry just can't. That's his line. Every negotiator,
that's a red line.
Yeah, it is. That's what it seems to me, that he is not guaranteeing 300. Not no way, not no how.
Well, it's definitely one of the things we'll talk with Rick about, because I was curious about that too. Where is it just like you can't see yourself paying out $300 million, but clearly this is the going rate. And my thing is, if there is any pursuit of Harper, you better add 10%
that. Yeah. And I can't help, help but suspect that there is a hint of suspicion that he will not play as hard as he has when he gets a big truck full of money.
Okay, well then you shouldn't be targeting him anyway.
Right, $250 will make you lazy too if you think that it's going to make anyone lazy.
Oh, you probably don't think need it that will. Much, right. So you got a cousin who doesn't even, he's broke as hell. He don't do.
Right, I'll do nothing for free.
Yeah.
The thing I thought was interesting, and it was, when you hear what they had as far as an incentive, where if I'm Manny and I'm looking at year 6 and year 7 where I'm, 33, and then you start talking about minimum at-bats to trigger the money that's left on the table, I mean...
Well, we ran the numbers.
I know.
Or Scott and Davenport ran the numbers.
Hey, there's my theme music right there. So my thing is, if we are able to do some of the quant work,
yeah,
and see that you're not going to make it to 500, or it's unlikely that you're going to make it to 550 at bats. I would imagine that Dan Lozano has people that do the same thing and go,
right,
hey, Skip, here's a list of all the players that at 33, 34, 35 are getting 550 at bats. We're probably not going to see that extra $35 million. And so, I mean, it's like, I'm not sure why they thought that was more attractive than the guaranteed cash.
And what do you care year 9, year 10? Hopefully there are new banners flying before you get to his 9th and 10th years.
Absolutely. The other thing that to me is just still not clear, and maybe you know something that I don't, is they were telling anyone who would ask today that Bruce Levine was wrong with his report, that they are philosophically against opt-outs. But I haven't seen anyone definitively say that they had opt-outs in their offer to Manny Machado. Well, so then it begs the question of, if you're not against opt-outs, but you wouldn't put them in here, if not now, when?
Right.
Like if a 26-year-old superstar on a long deal can't get an opt-out, is the only guy who can get an opt-out Mike Trout? Because if you only went 8-250 with no opt-outs, and they went 10-300 with an opt-out, you really weren't that close. You might have been second best, but you really weren't that close.
I do wonder how this mechanism works. Because all of us have been through negotiations where... What are you laughing at?
Lines in the sand. What? Some guys find the oddest things to hang on to and will not let go, even if it costs them a deal getting done.
But there's also the issue of, I have a deal in place. The example I used said to Dean Davis's podcast last night. Let's say that WGN offers me a deal. Let's say that they offer me $500,000 to come do the nighttime show over there. I've got Blackhawks and White Sox pre and post. Okay, let's say that that's a deal. I would imagine that my agent would then say to the Score, hey, this is what it's going to take. Can you get here? And if you can't, we shake hands and say goodbye and say congratulations. But if you can, if you can get there, was this a place that he wanted to be? So is it? Do those deals end up getting back to other suitors so that they know exactly what they need? Because in our minds, that's what we think happens. When we're talking about free agency, we talk about, well, Nightingale's saying this, so that's going to help Machado or Harper's leverage when they are able to bring that back to other teams. Is that the way that it actually works?
Well, right, because the other part of it is...
That'll do it.
Like, if I'm working at the Score, and in your example, WGN makes an offer, Score's got a right to match contractual protection. This is a free agent. So the White Sox, Lozano could say, hey, we got $300 million, and Rick Hahn could think that he's bluffing.
Right.
Because you're not going to see that piece of paper.
Right.
And so then it's about reading the market and your sources around the game, and you don't want to negotiate against yourself. So this idea of just quite simply, like, did you get an opportunity to match? It's not that simple, because he might not have believed, he might have thought that Machado was bluffing that he had $300 million.
Well.
And he wasn't.
He wasn't.
And he wasn't. But that's a part. Like, I wonder if he'd admit, like, yeah, we thought we were the highest offer. We clearly weren't.
And I imagine that the media reporting on it, I don't know if it helped or hurt in the end, because you're sitting there going, oh, well, they might be able to get Machado for $200 because no one's signing free agents and there might be collusion in baseball. And then all of a sudden, Lozano's like, guess what we got? We got $300 million guaranteed. And
with
the White Sox
are
like, no, you don't. Okay. See you in San Diego.
My wheels are turning on your hypothetical offer from GM.
Wait, what?
I guess
we'll find out next week.
It's actually a pretty good fit. I don't want you to go, but who's doing nights there now?
I think it's kind of a rotation, right? Like, Adam Hogue is doing nights sometimes. Justin Kaufman.
That's the best way to build an audience.
You know?
Rotate guys,
no,
right?
But I think they have to because of some of the...
All of the conflict.
Yeah.
The games.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. So, all right, I guess I'll see you guys over at 720. I'm not going over there. Wait, am I?
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Oh, wait.
That's not a... Well,
500?
That's a veteran move, Holmes.
At least.
Veteran move.
500 would be... That's old Mac money.
Oh, trust me.
Like, that's old...
Well, you said 500 to do nights at GN. I didn't want to laugh and blow up.
Right. So ridiculous.
Yeah, laugh at any day part now, unless you're Eric Ferguson.
Right. I mean, the land of the million-dollar talk show host died a long time ago. Okay. Except for Eric.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the only one left.
He's the one.
I don't think there's anybody over a nickel. I think Eric is still doing two commas, and I don't think anybody is making more than 500.
You're probably right about that. Tapman?
No.
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 No. No.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a lot of money for 15th.
Wow. Wow.
Rick Hahn in 5 minutes with Lawrence Holmes.
I play dirty.
Thanks to Matt Spiegel, our only guest today? I think so. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. I'll be in with Les tonight, midnight till 5 a.m. I'm in with the grobber. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.